Before we start this episode, I just want to take a moment to thank you all for the initial success of Small Town Podcast. I especially want to thank everyone for the positive response we received on our recent series of interviews with candidates for governor and lieutenant governor of Georgia. I know that you listen to Small Town Podcast for stories of small towns told by local officials, so interviewing candidates at a statewide level that are mostly in Atlanta is a bit of a departure, but I felt the need to ask what these candidates had in store for those of us outside of Georgia's metro areas. By your overwhelmingly positive response, you thought it was important too. Thanks to everyone who shared those episodes with friends. Because of you, more people know about great small towns like Willacoochee and Pelham and Vienna and Osceola. And there are more stories of small towns starting right now. Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and this is episode 5 of Small Town Podcast. Today, we go back to where I grew up in coastal Georgia. Soon after I became the mayor of Osceola, I was reacquainted with another small town mayor in Georgia who knew me back in my younger days. She wasn't in politics when I knew her before, but she sure is now. We're going to go talk with former mayor and current mayor pro tem, Clementine Washington, in the small town of Midway, Georgia. Come go with me. Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. Soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. My life is a journey, and I ended up in Osceola, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got 2 traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Osceola made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Osceola, Georgia. Traveling from Osceola to Midway, Georgia takes a little over 2, but under 2.5 hours. We take Georgia Highway 32, which is how we start most of our journeys, out of Osceola to the east, and then go a good bit until we can get onto US Highway 84. Although, there is a shortcut. You can take Georgia 203, which just outside of Alma connects you to Jessup back in on US 84. So I'll have to apologize to Alma Mayor Peggy Murphy for not stopping and saying hello. Sorry, Miss Peggy. Then we actually go through my old stomping grounds of Hinesville, Georgia, which we've done. And we are coming up to, I'm going to find out the story about City Hall, but apparently we are not meeting at City Hall. We're meeting at the Municipal Court building. Unfortunately, I'm a little late. And as we'll talk about, Dr. Washington is actually my former assistant principal from high school, so I hope she doesn't give me a tardy slip. So coming up on it here, there's the court building right next to the fire station. Pretty sure that's it. I'll find out in a minute. Yep, here we are. There she is waving at me to make sure I know where it's at. All right, well, let's go in and talk to Mayor Pro Tem Clementine Washington. So I'm joined now and very, very pleased to be joined now by the current Mayor Pro Tem and the former mayor of the city of Midway, Dr. Clementine Washington. Mayor Pro Tem Washington, thank you for being a part of Small Town Podcast.
And thank you so much, Mr. Mayor, and welcome to the city of Midway.
Well, thank you very much. Before we get going, I should probably explain, because we have a little bit of history, you and I. It's been exciting to meet a lot of new people. As being a mayor and meeting other mayors and council members from other cities all across Georgia and starting to meet people from different states. But it's also fun to run into somebody that you knew a long time before. And Dr. Washington, though, when I knew her before, she was Mrs. Washington, was the assistant principal both at Hinesville Middle School, where I went to middle school, and also Liberty County High School, where I graduated high school, because I grew up in Hinesville, and Midway is also in Liberty County. So it's good to see you again. Of the people I've even contacted about doing an interview for Small Town Podcast, you're by far the person I've known the longest and who's known me, though I should make sure to say, assistant principals are often known as the disciplinarians in the school, and she did not know me very well when I was in school. It's funny, I was actually, I'll admit, I was a little bit tardy. We had set an appointment a certain time to meet and set up this interview, and I was tardy, but she was nice enough not to give me a pink slip for that today. So thank you, Mrs. Washington, for your mercy. So we will get straight into it. I'll start with the same question I ask everybody. Were you born in your small town?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
Right here in Midway.
Okay. So and went to school locally or got, I know the schools have changed. I remember what the schools like when I, but they've already changed since I've been gone from Liberty County.
I went to segregated schools all throughout elementary. Of course, we didn't have middle and high school.
Okay. So what was the name of your high school when you went to high school?
Liberty County High School.
I figured that was the answer.
Yes.
Because we were told that we were the first graduating class of Liberty County High School back in 1995. I just dated myself for everybody there. But I remember we thought it was funny because during football season, we still had homecoming games and we were only, there wasn't anyone that had graduated yet, you know, in 93 and 94 and there was always a group there. And that's when I realized, you know, and as a young person kind of growing up, we read in history about segregation, but we're sitting in the same classroom with people of many different races. And of course, a lot of different races represented in a military town because of Fort Stewart. But that was when my eyes were open about how recent segregation was. So you were also a graduate of Liberty County High School.
Yes, I was a graduate of the original Liberty County High School.
Yeah, I guess I was version two.
Yes.
So graduated from the original Liberty County High School. And what did you do after high school?
I entered Savannah State College in Savannah, Georgia. Spent 4 years. My new president will say in and out in four. So I was in and out in four.
Okay.
Yes. And upon graduation from Savannah State, I taught 1 year in Milledgeville, Georgia.
Okay.
Then I came back to Savannah, and most of my career, my teaching career, was spent in Savannah. Uh-huh. And of course, you said earlier, I was an assistant principal, and all of those years were spent in Liberty County.
Okay. So out of curiosity, and there's a lot of stories where people grow up somewhere and then go off somewhere else after school. Did you always know that you would come back to home, to Midway, to Liberty County? Or did you think maybe, well, you'd go off and stay off?
Oh, no. I never wanted to leave home.
Okay.
I just like that small town feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Savannah is the largest city that I've ever lived in.
Mm-hmm.
Home is home, and I never wanted to go. My sisters left, my brothers left, but I didn't.
So what are some of the experiences you had now? Because you got some comparison now. You taught when you were a teacher. You were in Savannah. You said 1 year in Milledgeville, then Savannah. And then there was a position as an administrator that opened up. What was the first school you were at in Liberty County?
Hinesville Middle School.
Okay, so that was your first one. That's where I first met you, but tried to stay out of your out of your radar.
Most people did. Most students did.
That's right. Although, I should say now, she did know my name because I occasionally did make the honor roll.
And
you read the honor roll list off over the intercom for everybody. So administrator at middle school and then at the new version of the Liberty County High School.
I spent one half year at Bradwell as administrator.
Now, for those that...
That's the competition.
I was going to say, now, Bradwell Institute was the only high school in Liberty County when I was growing up. And in eighth grade, I thought I was going to be a Bradwell Tiger. And then Liberty County decided to have this other school, and that's where I ended up going. So that was big rivalry there. Probably still is. I don't keep, my parents still live here, but I don't keep up quite as much. So I imagine that's still a big rivalry.
Yes, it is.
I remember the first time we beat them in football. It was a big deal.
Oh, yes. You know, when you beat your rival, it's always a big deal. Always.
So tell me, since you've got experiences in both teaching in the big city of Savannah and then the smaller feel in Hinesville. Now, it's a much bigger city now than when I left, but at the time I would have considered it a smaller town. What's the difference there between being in a bigger system and a smaller one?
Well, I don't know that you can really compare it because the children are different. When I first started teaching, for example, I taught health and PE. So children were eager to help you set up that volleyball net or roll out those basketballs. But as the years passed, they would sit and say, how long is it going to take you to put up that net?
And just let
when
you
are
do
you
it.
Going to bring out the volleyball? Yeah. You know, but you just see it change through the years. But I've always enjoyed everything that I did, so that makes a difference.
Yeah.
You know, even with that.
What made you want to get into administration?
Well, I really wasn't expecting to go into administration. I was lying in bed one night, and one of my sorority sisters called and said, hey, Clem, how you doing? I said, fine. She said, well, I'm calling you because I'm leaving Hinesville Middle School, and Mr. Capeton, I don't know if he was principal at that time. Okay, Warren Capeton, he's deceased now, was the principal. She said, Mr. Capeton wants me to get someone to replace me as assistant principal. She said, we do have someone acting now, but they are looking for someone with a master's degree. I said, girl, I don't know anything about being an assistant principal. She said, oh, girl, you can do anything you want to. She said, all you need to do is fill out the application, and you'll have an interview with the superintendent and then the principal. I did all of that. And I got the job.
You had a personal referral.
Yes, yeah. I did.
That often helps. Yeah.
It did.
Well, that's good. And then on to high school administration.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what, now after I left, because I left in 95, mm-hmm. How far up did you go in education? I know you got another degree because, like I said, you were not Dr. Washington when I graduated high school, but you are now.
While I was at Hinesville Middle School, I received my specialist from Georgia Southern. Mm-hmm. It was college at that time, and remember, I was in the last graduating class of Georgia Southern College, and we were just so excited we got our specialist.
Yeah.
Then I went on eventually later in life and got my doctorate from Nova Southeastern University, which is headquartered in Florida, the state of Florida.
So you're retired from education now, but how many years total did you serve in education,
those
various?
37 plus.
37 plus. You know, you can stop at 30. You decided to keep going.
Well, I was still young and vibrant and eager to go, full of energy.
So you just kept going.
Yes.
37 plus.
Yes, and finally one day I realized that I was all grown up, and it was time to do something different.
So is that when you decided to get into local government?
No, you know, I was still in the school system.
Okay.
Our mayor, Mayor Hollingsworth, passed away. The mayor pro tem, Magdalene Clancy at that time, moved up, and they needed someone to fill that vacancy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was less than 6 months before we have the next election. So they asked me. Because only two people would come to city council meeting.
Right.
And I was one of the two. The other person worked for city government.
Mm-hmm.
So then they asked me.
And your charter set up, that's actually, Osceola's is the same way. If there's less than 6 months before a regular election, then the council can appoint just to fill that. But then it sounds like you must have run for that spot.
I did. I ran and I won.
And I won
my council seat.
Okay. And so what year was that you first became appointed and then soon after were elected to the council?
I think that must have been sometime back there in maybe 2001.
Okay.
Not 01.
Yeah. So now, because I should have asked this, when you got the job at Hinesville Middle School, you didn't move to Hinesville. You moved back home to Midway, yes?
Yes, I did. No, I commuted 7 years before I moved back home.
Oh, okay, you stayed in Savannah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always knew
you wanted to
I
make
was
sure
it would
work
home.
Out.
No, I always knew I was going to move home.
Yeah.
I just took a while getting organized to get my property cleared to build here in Midway.
Yeah,
and I had it cleared about 2 years, and then I got started again, and finally, we just went on, got it done, and moved home.
So, 2001, you were appointed. 6 months later, or within 6 months, you were elected and started serving full terms. Are the terms here 4 years?
Yes,
okay.
They are.
Some cities still have two-year terms. How long before you decided, because as I announced, you're the former mayor. When did you decide to run for mayor?
Well, I served two terms on a council, which would have given me 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ran for mayor after those two terms.
Uh-huh.
I ran for mayor.
obviously you were asked, so you were seen as somebody who had something to offer to the city, because the council asked you and they were already serving. But what made you, especially since you mentioned you were one of the ones actually coming to the meeting, what gave you that desire to show up and then to serve in those capacities?
Because I feel that if you're going to live in a community, you should be a part of a community. You need to know what's going on. And the only way I could know what was going on is to come and sit in the meetings. If I had any concerns, I could address them with the council members or the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they saw that in me. They saw that I was interested in my city and had something to offer. You know, the leadership experience as an administrator helped with that position.
Sure. Well, they figured if you could handle middle schoolers and high schoolers, you could handle the local citizens, I guess. So what is it that encouraged you or made you want to run for mayor after serving on the council?
Because I felt that there were some things I wanted to see changed in the city, and I could work with the council and bring about some changes by setting goals, making sure that all of us wanted to accomplish the same goals or similar goals.
Mm-hmm.
And we came together and decided that these are the goals that we want to work on. They accepted some of my goals. They brought their own goals. We combined them, went through them, and narrowed them down.
So what were some of the things you wanted to accomplish, either coming on the council or as the mayor of Midway? What were some of the changes you wanted to see?
Well, I wanted to see some beautification in the city.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you see those boxwood out there? That's my first project for beautification as a council member.
Okay.
We wanted to see our city have less debris in it,
mm-hmm.
so we worked toward that. We wanted to make sure that our employees had good working proper equipment. We wanted to revisit all of our documents, especially the charter,
mm-hmm.
upgrade, revise all of the city documents. We wanted to make sure that we were following the proper record retention guidelines. And we just had a lot of things to do to get where we felt that we needed to be or would like to be.
It's very easy to let the documentation and those things kind of go for years without getting updated.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to do it a little at a time, but it's tedious. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, you're not the first one that's mentioned that as something that the small town especially kind of just lets go for a little bit. So it's important that you recognize that. And it sounds like, by the way you're talking, that most of those things were accomplished, at least in some way. Are there still some things you're working on or things that you feel like have been left undone?
Yes, we're still working on streets and roads.
Yeah.
You know, that's always a problem because you have traffic constantly coming and going.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my major problem with streets and roads would be up near our middle school,
mm-hmm.
because you have that constant flow during the school year of school buses and delivery trucks coming and going and parents coming and going. And it's really kind of difficult to maintain that street.
Yeah. Now, say this for people that, because I've announced you as the current mayor pro tem, but the former mayor, and you've explained that to me, that you have, and every charter is different,
mm-hmm.
but Midway's charter only allowed for, is it two terms?
Right, two
so,
terms.
So after serving your two full terms as mayor, successfully getting some things done, you weren't allowed to run for mayor again, but you're sitting here as continuing on the council. And so explain what kept you wanting to stay involved?
Well, I wanted to be sure that we had people running for the office that had a true love for the city. They weren't running just because they felt that I could do this better than you.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know that they knew a little bit about government or they were willing to learn something about government. And we had a project, our new city hall, that's on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly wanted to be a part of that, if at all possible. So I decided to run for council. and I was elected.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And I understand, because I, again, you're the mayor pro tem. Now, how every charter is different, so how is the mayor pro tem determined in Midway's charter?
I voted the council, so majority vote.
So the other council members actually selected you specifically to be the mayor pro tem.
Yes, well, I had some competition.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yes.
Now, I should have asked this along the way. When you ran for council twice, then ran for mayor twice, and then ran for council again, did you have opposition any of those times, all of those times?
The first time I ran for mayor, I didn't have opposition. Mm-hmm. The second time, I had opposition.
Okay. And then when you ran for council this most recent time?
Yeah, there were five persons running for council, so that meant one person would lose and four would be elected.
So you have at-large council members. You don't have districts.
No, we don't have districts.
It's very interesting. Everybody I talk to, the charters are slightly different. So there's districts and some at-large, and some have both districts and one at-large council member. So it's I always have to ask that. That's why people are probably saying, why didn't he know that? He's a mayor. Well, because my charter is different than everybody else's. So.
And, you know, we're such a mobile community. If we had districts, there may be a time when nobody wanted to run.
Right.
And we would have a district without representation. So right now, since we are small, we just run at large. Some people want it changed, but I think that's something that may be coming down the road when we get really, really large, much larger than we are now.
So you're starting your four-year term, your first year of a four-year term, and plans to run again? I know it's 3 years away, but is this something you just really enjoy doing and will do as long as you can?
Well, I don't know about that. Maybe when I complete this term, I'll sit back and say, well, is it time for me to give it up? Because I think we all need to know when it's time to give it up, give it to a younger person, a more knowledgeable person, or someone who is willing to learn the job.
Sure. Now, as you might have guessed, I love small towns and the laid-back lifestyle they offer. But you know who else loves small-town living? The ladies at the Southern Mercantile. The Southern Mercantile is an online store promoting Southern style and Southern traditions. Their blog highlights small-town living at its best with stories of the joys and sometimes the struggles of living in a community where everybody knows everybody. Whether you live in a small town or a big city, you can enjoy being a part of the Southern Mercantile online community. Check out their website at southernmercantile.com to shop, to read the blog, or to get recipes. See the market schedule to see when the Southern Merc girls might be at a market near you anywhere in the southeastern United States. Do me a favor and show them some love for supporting this podcast. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, or Snapchat. The Southern Mercantile. Well, I want to get into some of, and you talked about the projects, and you've talked about a little bit, you and I have talked about the city and what it has to offer. But before I do that, I've got a list of get-to-know-you questions I want to ask you. So this is for people who don't know you, or maybe people who do, they'll learn something new. So the first question, do you have or have you ever had a nickname?
Yes, I have a nickname.
What is that nickname?
Oh, my goodness. My name is Clementine, right?
Right.
So I don't know how I got
again,
these nicknames.
Your first name when I was growing up was Mrs.
Yes.
Could have called you Clementine.
My daddy called me Daddy Date.
Daddy Date.
Yeah. My grandmother called me Diddy.
Daddy Date and Diddy. Okay.
So how do you get that out of Clementine?
I was actually going to ask you that question.
I have no idea.
They just did. So they just came up with it?
Yeah.
Just on a whim, and there it was. And that for years, that was just a one-time thing. That was
no. And I have one cousin that lives in New York. When he calls me, he says, "Hey, Cousin Diddy, how are you doing?"
So it stuck at least for one cousin.
Yes.
Okay. Daddy Date and Diddy.
Yes.
I would have never guessed those. All right. So if you had to sing a karaoke song for the honor, to defend the honor of your fair city of Midway, what would your go-to karaoke song be?
Oh, my goodness, to defend the city of Midway.
Yeah, it's that important.
Oh, my God, I can tell you. How about Proud Mary?
Proud Mary.
Ike and Tina Turner.
That's right.
Proud Mary.
I would like to see that. Hopefully the city of Midway's honor will never be on the line, but if it is, I think it'll be well defended. All right, next question. What is your favorite meal or your favorite dish?
I love okra.
Okra.
Fried okra, steamed okra, okra and butter beans, okra, butter beans, and tomatoes.
Okra just about anyway, it sounds like. Okay, as long as there's okra involved, you're happy. Okay. All right, final question. If you could attend any concert of any singer or group, dead or alive, who would you want to see in concert?
Tina Turner.
Well, there we go. Okay. So you can pick up all the moves when you're singing Proud Mary.
Oh, she is so energetic.
That makes sense.
Yes.
All right. Now that we know more, so much more about you through those questions, let's talk some more about the city of Midway and what it means. So I guess just to start off, what is it you think that sets Midway apart from other cities and other small towns? What makes it unique?
We are closely knit. And I stated earlier, we were a mobile community. But as you visit the different communities, you can see the neighbors socializing with each other. It's just a good hometown feel, you know? Mm-hmm. It's small. When you go to a larger city and you come back, you can say, home at last, home at last. And, you know, it's the environment, the fresh air, mm-hmm. the being able to sit outside on your porch without being worried about someone coming by for a drive-by or anything of that nature.
Yeah.
It's being able to walk through your neighborhood and saying hey to your neighbors.
Yeah. What's the population of Midway?
Last census, 2,121.
Okay.
And we are just looking forward to the next census in 2020.
Do you think you've grown or stayed about the same?
I think we've grown.
Okay.
Yes. We've grown.
Has it been just people wanting to come live here or a new business nearby that's kind of brought some people in?
People wanting to live here, new subdivisions, and okay. people are moving in. Even though there's a constant turnover, people are still coming in, and some are staying.
You get a reference, Fort Stewart, the military base that just gets bigger all the time,
yes.
and that's been Hinesville and Liberty County's kind of engine for economic growth for decades now. Do you see some of that? Do you have a lot of military folks that maybe don't want to live on base, don't want to live in Hinesville? Nice town. I grew up there, but it's big by my standards now at 33,000.
Yes.
Do you feel like you get some of that as well? Military families wanting to live a little in a wider space?
Yes, we do. Down at our city hall, you see a lot of military people coming in, signing up for our water utilities.
Okay.
Yeah, so I get to talk to a lot of them as they come in when I'm there.
Yeah. I know just from growing up in this area, there's just a huge amount of history. And if I remember my local history, you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong on this, but the city was named Midway because it was midway between the two main ports of Savannah and Sunbury. Now, Sunbury probably isn't a highly recognized port anymore. Savannah certainly is. But so that is right. That's
maybe
why.
The port of Brunswick. Are we talking about?
Yep.
We always tell people we are halfway between Savannah and Brunswick.
Okay.
And we have a port in Brunswick and a port in Savannah.
I know Sunbury is nearby. I just thought so.
Well, now down at Sunbury, we had a lot of fishing and crabbing.
Mm-hmm.
We had the docks down there. Did you know anything about the docks down at Sunbury?
It's been a long time since I've been anywhere down there. But yeah, as a kid, I remember going down there a little bit. Like I said, it was a big port in the Revolutionary era.
Okay.
And then, of course, Savannah became a lot bigger and Brunswick has since then. So, but either way, it's midway between two ports, right?
Yes.
I got that part right, at least. I'm failing with my assistant principal right here. I messed up that history question.
Don't worry about it.
So just speak a little bit about, I guess, the historic aspect of Midway.
We are proud of our city. There are historical sites to visit here. We have our Midway Congregational Church. We have our Midway Colonial Museum with the cemetery across the street. And recently we have an African American History Museum. And we do have the first school for blacks in Liberty County in the form of Dorchester Academy.
I was going to ask
and
you
it's
about
on the
Dorchester.
National Register.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
It's growing. The community supports it very well. The entire county supports it. It's not historical, but the city owns an interpretive center with a boardwalk. It just takes you out into the environment. If you like being outside, There's a boardwalk that will take you approximately a half a mile to the marsh, where there's a dock for fishing and crabbing. Along the way, there's a bird watching tower. I'm just so excited about it. We've had our Midway Day Festival down at the K Creek for maybe about 5 years. We haven't had it recently because of the hurricanes that came by and tore up everything.
I hope that's being restored.
Oh, yes, definitely. Everything has been restored now. All we are in the process of doing now is just cleaning out our gardens. We have two gardens, one on each side of the boardwalk, and we are cleaning it, but all of the restoration has been completed.
It's nice to be a coastal community because you're so close to the beach and all the recreation opportunities, but it also means you're close to hurricanes when they come through.
Yes.
So that does have a tendency to mess things up from time to time. So a lot of small towns will have some struggles just because of being so small and low population. So what's something that maybe Midway has had to deal with, and how did you overcome it? Or maybe it's something you're overcoming right now.
We really had a struggle with our water and wastewater system.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, when I came into office, we had a lot of malfunctioning equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Our lift stations would go down, and we would have to call someone else in to take care of it. We did not have what's called the mix and flush valve.
Mm-hmm.
So we set out to replace all of the malfunctioning equipment that we had. We do not have the breakdown as much. We still have some breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, because of the cost of the equipment, it takes time to replace it. But we have been replacing it, and that is getting much better in terms of the breakdown. Now, if the lightning strikes our system, we can't do anything about that.
Ooh.
Sometimes the chlorinator may go down, and, of course, that's an awful smell to the water.
Yeah.
We still have a little problem with that, but we are getting there. I think economic development is something that the citizens would like to see. As in any small town, you know, we have the neighborhood store, which we have here, and everybody wants to get another supermarket. But they have to understand that we cannot go and bring people here.
Right.
You know, they do their homework,
and
they know if they want to be here or not. We have tried, but no one is ready to come yet.
A lot of places, especially chains, will have kind of a minimum population requirement, and they just look at just that.
Yes.
And so small towns certainly have a harder time attracting the bigger businesses. And it's amazing, to your other point, I remember just trying to get the lay of the land when I first became mayor in late 2015 and just asking a lot of questions because I wasn't familiar with public utilities. And the cost of the systems is enormous. And when you only have so many people using the service, that's definitely a challenge.
And, you know, infrastructure is always a problem. We still have some unpaved streets in the city, and we use crush and run.
Yep.
For those streets.
Yep.
You have potholes. You have to have materials to fill the potholes. You don't always have the funds. We get a little bit of money from the state for local maintenance, which we have tried to use very wisely.
Mm-hmm.
We have gotten money from our local splash, which we have tried to use very wisely.
I've asked this once or twice. I should have asked it earlier. You said some of the things you came on the council and then when you decided to run for mayor. Here's this list of things that you wanted to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm willing to bet, because I know this from personal experience, that there were things that became the big issues for most of the citizens.
Yeah.
So you already mentioned potholes. That's what made me ask that question. What are some other things that you didn't even expect would be major issues you'd hear about all the time, but those are the things you end up dealing with more than what you want to deal with?
Unkept ditches.
Cleaning out the ditches.
Right.
Yep.
At one point, we were renting the equipment and the operator from one of the municipalities here in the county, and that was fine. So they decided that they were not going to rent it out anymore, and we did not have the equipment to clean out the ditches. We couldn't rent the equipment, so that got to be a serious, very serious problem.
Yeah.
And right now we are at the point where we can clean some of the ditches. We are still working on getting additional equipment that would help us, but that's a major problem.
Yeah.
Unclean ditches, and I really hate that.
And you didn't run on a political platform of clearing out the ditches.
No, I didn't.
But no, that's what that's what you ended up dealing with.
I hope when you listen to these episodes of Small Town Podcast that you will want to visit the small towns we feature. I really hope you'll want to visit my small town of Ocilla, Georgia. And when you do, you should be sure to visit the Shops at 4th and Cherry, located in the heart of downtown Ocilla. It's hard to sum it up in one word or phrase. The Shops at 4th and Cherry has gifts, home decor, men and women's clothing, jewelry, locally grown and made products, children's gifts, and so much more. They also have a cafe that serves lunch Tuesday through Friday. If you enjoy homemade chicken salad or pimento cheese, followed by some of the best desserts in the South, you should make your way over to Ocilla and go to the Shops at 4th and Cherry. To see what events and sales are coming up, or to see what's on the menu, visit them online at www.4thandcherry.com. That's all spelled out, FourthandCherry.com. Come gather, visit, relax, and enjoy life in Ocilla, Georgia, at the Shops at 4th and Cherry.
Let me ask you another small town question. Now, what, feel free to tell a story on this one. What are some of the most, or maybe the most provocative thing that's ever happened in one of your public meetings, whether it was a council meeting or a hearing, a workshop? Mm-hmm. Sometimes small towns have some of those. What people get all up in arms about is different than what it is in the big city.
Well, I don't know. This may not be it, but I have to tell this one. We were getting ready to do a reception here.
Yeah.
For some employees, mm-hmm. and we asked the mayor pro tem at that time to deliver the prayer. So he stepped up and he said, "Please bow your heads." And his phone rang. And everybody said, "Uh-oh, that's God calling you." And we fell out. But that was something funny. But most times we don't have a lot of people complaining about anything.
Mm-hmm.
When we talked about cutting trees down on one of our residential streets, the courtroom was packed.
Yeah.
But when they came, the extension director and the arborist came to the meeting because both of them had evaluated the trees.
Mm-hmm.
We needed to remove 20 trees,
mm-hmm.
and both of them agreed. And when the citizens found out that we had done our homework, and yes, indeed, those trees had to go, we didn't have any problems.
Right.
They didn't come to the next meeting.
Because it wasn't the opinions of the council.
That's
you had
right.
sought expert opinions.
Boy. And when we removed those trees, they were like this, hollow on the inside.
Ooh.
During both of the hurricanes, no tree fell from a city street because we had done our homework.
Taking care of it in advance.
Yes.
Well, that's good. That's good. I ask this question some and get varied answers. So in most places, especially a small town, there's often a person, a non-elected person, that ends up having a large amount of influence. And you kind of need to get that person's buy-in if you want to do a project or take action. So is there such a person in Midway where you probably want to consult that person because they've got influence?
We don't have that problem here in Midway.
Okay.
Once we had someone on the council who thought that they had a lot of say and had a lot of pull, but it didn't work that way. And that person decided to run against me, and I beat that person by 65% of the vote.
I was going to say, you're in office, so I imagine I know how that worked out. Okay, all right. So actually, the answer to the question seems to be, you're the person of influence in Midway.
but mostly, they will come if they have a problem, and you try to solve the problem for them, they'll let you know.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a citizen now that's been having a problem for several years, but his problem is such that it's difficult to get to solve.
Yeah.
And we have spent money having that area surveyed. We have been over visiting. I myself have been at least 5 different times, but the problem still exists. And, of course, the citizen is a part of the problem,
mm-hmm.
but not willing to accept that.
Yeah.
So, but something like that. Most times, we don't have a lot of citizens coming, complaining about major things. And if you make an honest effort to do what they are asking you to do, then it's okay with them.
Pretty,
if they know you can't do
reasonable,
it.
Reasonable, yeah.
Yes, they are. I have found them to be pretty reasonable.
Let me shift gears a little bit because people are listening to us. They're not watching us, so they can't see the room. I'll have some pictures that I'll put out on our social media channels. But we're actually sitting in the municipal courtroom, and you referred to the people filling the courtroom anyway because this is where you're having your meetings.
Yes.
And that's because you said City Hall is a rented space. So talk a little bit about what's been going on there because you mentioned a project, and that actually sounds pretty exciting in a small town.
Let me give you a little history about that. When I came on council, we were meeting here in the municipal courtroom. Mm-hmm. Another mayor was elected because the lady that moved to be mayor decided not to run. Mm-hmm. We made a deal with the county, and we moved to the old elementary school. It was not our building, but we were keeping the building. So when it was time for them to reclaim the building, we had not ever considered leaving. And so here we are without a home.
Now, how many years were you in the old schoolhouse?
Oh, my goodness. Let me say at least 6 years, I would think. At least six. Okay. Maybe two years of my administration.
And Liberty County came back for their building.
They came back for their building. So then we found two suites in the Midway Mall, mm-hmm. and we rented those. And we have been there for at least eight years or more. And we were concerned about that. We had talked about building a city hall. And eventually, we decided that, yes, we needed to go on and build our own city hall. We had no idea of how to get started, but we partnered with the engineering department at Savannah State University, and we had the students to come and draw us conceptual plans. And we looked at the plans, we tore them apart, we talked with someone at LCPC, Liberty Consolidated Planning Commission. Mm-hmm. They looked at the plans so that when we decided to go forth and we actually hired an architect, he had an idea of what we wanted in this building. So we didn't have to start from ground zero when we started. So we've had the groundbreaking, but we've had several setbacks since that time because the hurricane came. Mm-hmm. We had some Corps of Engineers problems, change in personnel. So that kind of put us back. Then the snow came.
We don't get that a lot in South Georgia.
And that kind of put us back. So hopefully we are on the right track now.
Okay.
And hopefully I'm just going to be prayerful that by the end of the year, if not before, we should be in our new city hall.
And that's where the council, there'll be a council room in there. Mm-hmm. And now what's, because you got the two spaces in the mall, but that's where people would go pay their utility bills and just conduct that kind of business.
Yeah. We're going to carry the police department with us.
Okay, it's going to have everything in
there. Yes, everything. The fire department will remain next to this building, but everything else will move down to the new city hall.
Okay. Well, that's very exciting, a new city hall. When is the last time you had, I guess, a city hall building? Because you're talking about before the schoolhouse.
Oh, my God.
So you guys have been spread out for many years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We have.
Well, very exciting. Well, with that excitement in mind, I'll just ask this final question and give you a chance to tell someone why they should come to visit or maybe even come live in the small town of Midway, Georgia.
I think that you should come to my hometown, the city of Midway, because it is a good place to visit, a good place to live. If you like seafood, we have seafood for you. If you like barbecue, we have barbecue for you. If you like pizza, we have pizza. If you like Subways, we have Subways. If you want to find a wonderful home, we have many homes. We have subdivisions. We have low-income housing. We have historical things for you to see. But most importantly, you can get anywhere from Midway. We have Highway 17 that runs north and south, 95 that runs north and south. And of course, you can go in either direction and be connected to wherever it is you would like to travel. Thank you very much. And please come and visit my hometown, the city of Midway.
Now that sounded very well rehearsed.
But I didn't rehearse it.
No,
I
that
love
was great.
Living in the country. I really do.
You have done a good job marketing your town. You've always talked so well about Midway. You made me remember what a great place it was, and I've actually been here before. So, Dr. Clementine Washington, thank you so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
You are quite welcome, and thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode of Small Town Podcast. Thanks for walking a little down memory lane with me. If you're enjoying these episodes and support what we're doing for small towns everywhere, would you help us out? Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and share this podcast with a friend that you think might enjoy it just like you do. Write us a review on iTunes to help us get the word out and promote this podcast. I want to thank Dr. Clementine Washington for joining me on this episode, and thanks as always to the Georgia Municipal Association for sponsoring and supporting this podcast on behalf of small towns everywhere. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.
We stand adjourned.